Hi there, everybody, and welcome to your second live online coaching session. I hope you've all had a good few days. And for those that jumped onto the Trello doing session, either live or afterwards, I hope you are progressing well through it. I've had a bit of feedback about it already, and people are loving the Trello, which I was hoping that you would. So we've got a bit to get through tonight. Let's go straight to the Trello board. And thank you for somebody actually went onto the Trello board for today's session and added something within the agenda. So that's super useful. So thank you for that. And I've got an answer for that one as well. So as you know, this session is being recorded. And so that recording will be added to the top description area of this card once it's complete, and you'll be able to find it. It'll be the most recent thing within completed list. I'll also make sure I email that to everybody as well with a link to this card so you can see the link to the recording. So what I wanted to talk about today was, first of all, I wanted to welcome Elle. Elle is our 23rd practice that has become involved in our online coaching group. And Elle's, let me just go into the goals. So Elle is from Willerton in Western Australia. And her goal is better systems, that is nurses, reception handbook, ordering processes, protocols, etc., and teamwork as perfect as can be. Now, because Elle did put down just the organisation around systems, and we've had systems and getting organised as other goals of several of the practices that are involved, streamline operations, then I think we're going to touch on that today, or not touch on it, I'm going to go deeply into that today to a certain degree. So I'm not going to necessarily follow the order of events within the agenda. What I did want to do first up is to address the added agenda item that one of our coaching clients added in. And that is scripts role plays in rescheduling patients who have had to be rescheduled due to COVID-19, especially if they are not keen to book in right away. That is ways to get busier again with the booking with bookings ASAP. So I wanted to address that straight away. What I've noticed with some of the practices that I have become in contact with is one of the groups of practices are they're full steam ahead. Let's get everything done that we can possibly get done within the guidelines of level 2. And we're going to be happy and confident and can see this as a bright, shining indication of the way the future is going to be over the next coming weeks. And they're very excited by that. That's certainly my headspace as well. I saw that shift from level 3 to level 2 as a huge benefit, a huge step forward in making sure that we can maintain the practices that have survived to date, will then be able to maintain because they'll be able to earn some money. They've likely reduced down the amount they need to pay for rent and mortgages and leases, and they're getting the $1,500 every fortnight for staff as a wage subsidy as well. So everything's moving in the right direction, and we weren't stuck there in level three for 6 months or anything like that. So for me, I'm very excited by the future, and I really implore you guys to be as well. Let me know where your headspace is at in terms of how optimistic you feel for the future. It's important that you get your mindset right. A positive mindset sees opportunities, and a negative, fearful mindset doesn't see the opportunities at all and just sees the things to worry about, the dilemma of the situation. Only focusing on the negatives is not going to be helpful for you moving forward. And you have to be quite aware that if you are a manager or a practice owner, your team members and your patients are looking to you to take direction on how to feel, how much to panic, how much to worry, how confident we can feel, how much can be achieved in this space. So I implore you to let me know how you're feeling from a mindset point of view, because I want to get Charles on, the co-founder of JPPS. He's Australasia's passion provocateur. His whole work is around mindset. And I'm going to get him on over the next couple of sessions to have a talk to us about how to shift that mindset if we've got an unhelpful one. So any information you can deliver to me would be really important and help that session go really well and address any concerns and issues that you have. So the way we communicate to patients is going to either be encouraging them to come in and book in again or not. And we have to truly believe these things ourselves in order for it to come effectively over in our communication. So first of all, I wanted to share with you, this was an email that when I sent out one of my email blasts today, every now and again you get email responses, automated email responses, and this was one of them. I've taken out the identifying features of it, but this was one of them. So it says, hello and thank you for your contact. Based on the new guidelines from the Australian Dental Association, I'm just making sure I'm actually recording. I am. Based on the new guidelines from the Australian Dental Association, we will be reopening our clinic from next Tuesday, the 28th of April. Unfortunately, this does not mean that the practice has returned to normal. We do look forward to this time. What does it mean for you? We can see patients again and provide limited procedures. However, we urge you to stay home if you are unwell. In addition, we will require you to fill out a health declaration form at the time of your appointment time. Please be rest assured that we will always have high infection control standards and protocols in place, hence you will notice some changes in our management of your appointment time. You can always contact us on this. There's an option to leave a voice message or email us here, as the reception will not always be attended at requesting an appointment time. We look forward to seeing you. Best wishes. That's not a terribly inspiring email when we're talking about trying to attract patients back into the practice. If I had read that, I would think to myself, they don't really want to see me just yet. They're not in the headspace to see me just yet. Everything's still quite anxious around that space. I wouldn't be necessarily encouraged to come in for anything other than an emergency patient if I'd received that communication from the dental practice if I was the patient. Because the Australian Dental Association and the health authorities have said level two, and they've given guidelines for level two, they have got complete confidence that that is safe. They've given the directive that even with our PPE, if it's a non-aerosol-based treatment, we can go back to our usual PPE as well. There is no reason why we as practices, dental practice teams, don't just completely embrace that direction. They are our governing bodies. So completely embrace their direction and do everything that you can within those guidelines. That's my encouragement to you. I'm not a dentist though, and you need to do what you feel is right within your own self and your own practice. But I think that to balance out and to really invest, to tap into what the concerns are if you're not doing that and discuss them as a group. So then moving forward, you're all going towards the same goal together. But for those dentists and practices that really do want to take this as an opportunity to start opening the doors up and start seeing patients, managing their oral care again. What about this one instead? This is something that I write up for one of my clients. Dear patients and friends of the practice, government and health authorities have eased the restrictions of dental practices from level 3 to level 2 as of Monday, 27th of April. This means that we can return to performing most dental treatments. As usual, we will be seeing emergency patients. We can also see patients who need general checkup and cleaning. Cleaning will be performed under hand scaling instrument rather than the ultrasonic method. Fillings that should not be delayed due to the use of a high speed handpiece, these fillings will be performed under rubber dam. This means with a rubber sheet that isolates the tooth. General extractions, orthodontic treatment, management of jaw conditions, denture production and management. Our team have started contacting all patients who have had to defer their treatment, and we are rescheduling their appointments. We will be leaving spaces in our schedule for patients experiencing an emergency. Please do not hesitate to call us to discuss your particular situation. We are continuing with our increased infection control protocol. Do not bring additional people to your appointment. Wait in your car in our car park and we will come and collect you when it is time to take you through to the surgery. If you have any symptoms of illness or have been overseas, tell us. We will make the necessary arrangements. Use the provided hand sanitizer upon entrance to the practice. Thank you for working with us during this challenging time. We are so appreciative of your support, wishing you all health and happiness. So I think we can still state the same message, but in a more encouraging way, in a more confident way, in a way that we have got everything under control. And if you need us, we're here. Come straight on in. Feel free to use those words if you wish. But what I thought too could be an additional thing you can do would be this. How about this? So I've attached to here, again, feel free to use the words within this as well. I've attached a video, a short video that I just quickly recorded, because sometimes you can be terribly engaging when it's a video. They're seeing your confidence. They're seeing your authority. You're the dentist standing there saying, come on in, it's safe. This is what we're doing here. So let me just quickly play this for you.
Hi there, dear patients. I'm here to reassure you that we have now had our restrictions eased from level 3 to level 2. And that's great news because it means that we can do additional treatments on our patient.
Sorry, I'm just going to make sure that I've got when I'm sharing my screen, I've got the computer sound turned on, which I did not. So I'm going to share it again during that. Now you can actually hear it. That's helpful. Hi there, our dear patients. I'm here to reassure you that we have now had our restrictions eased from level 3 to level 2. And that's great news because it means that we can do additional treatments on our patients. In the past with level 3, it's only been severe emergencies that we've been able to see. But now in level 2, we can get a lot more treatment done. Not everything yet, but I'm sure that's not going to be too far away. When you do come along to the practice, be rest assured that as always has been the case with dental surgeries here in Australia, our infection control procedures are very high. There are some additional things that we're doing, such as getting you to wait in your car in the car park rather than in our waiting room, such as not bringing additional people to your appointment time. And when you do come in, that we get you to use the hand sanitizer, sometimes wash your hands at the sink and use an antiviral mouthwash before we commence treatment. Additional things that we're doing to make sure that you are safe and our team are safe during this COVID-19 situation. If you need us for anything, please do give us a call. We can have a chat over the phone. And if you need us to perform any treatment on you, if it's within the parameters of level 2, we are thrilled to be able to book you in. So give us a call when you're ready. Thank you. So you think about posting that kind of video on your Facebook page, social media page, on your website, the very homepage on your website, send it out to, email it out to all of your clients. Make sure that you are articulating the confidence that you guys have in safely treating your patients at this time. I really do believe that it's going to be only a number of weeks before we're all back into level 1 again. We do want to make best use of this time, smart use of this time. So we've gone and keep in mind, we were desperate before. You know, I can understand why people were terribly anxious before, because you could only see emergencies, and that going on for any period of time would have seen a lot of closures of doors, permanent closures of doors. And so if you would like to do a video, I think that would be an awesome step to take. Okay, let's go back to sharing screen. Now get rid of that, go back to the card. So hopefully you can see the value in that. The other thing was the person who contributed that agenda item, it doesn't actually tell me who did it, which is not a problem. So just keep that in mind. Never think that when you add an agenda item, if I've already got the agenda sitting there, I don't think I get to see who put it there. So you can put any question there, really. Here we go. The script for scheduling patients. As I say, we are not wanting to communicate to patients anything other than it's all set. You can come on in. It's safe. They've said it's okay. So when you are scheduling patients, don't say to them, oh, how have you been this terrible time? And well, you can ask how they've been, of course, but don't harbor on all the negatives and all the things that create fear. What we want to do is to portray an air of confidence. And an assumption that they're going to want, and this is good. communicate with your patients with the assumption they can't wait to come back in. That they haven't been sitting at home going, oh my gosh, I'm so terrified, I've got a toothache and now I have to go to the dentist. You go with the assumption that they can't wait to come back in. They've just been waiting for the go-ahead and now you've got that go-ahead. So if you are calling your patients who have been deferred, they were already in the book, but they've been deferred, or your recall patients who've been waiting to update their recall. Hi patient, it's Julie from your dental practice. You may have heard the good news that restrictions have been eased and we can see patients for most treatments. You are one of the patients that had to defer their appointment time, and I'm pleased to say that we can now reschedule you. So what day and time suits you? Go with the assumption that they can't wait to get in. And then once they book the appointment time, then you can go into, you can say something here, or you can say, I'm going to send you an email of how to prepare for the appointment time. You could even do it that way. But say, if you're going to say it over the telephone to them, we are maintaining our increased infection control for a little while. So what that means is to reduce the number of people at the practice, if you could just come by yourself and not bring any family members or friends. And when you come in, I'm going to get you to use the hand sanitizer that's available at the front door. But we're so looking forward to seeing you. So we'll see you Tuesday next week. So just make it confident. So I hope that helps, if that script helps. If the person who wrote that agenda item wants a bit more information around that and they're online live with us now, let me know. Otherwise, after the recording, send me through an email. Let me know if I've addressed that issue properly. The other things I wanted to touch on today were how and what to communicate with staff. And what I have found dealing with different staff teams throughout this process, this COVID-19 process, is that there's so much information in people's brains. There has been a need for additional reassurance, repeating information over and again, and constantly encouraging them to talk about what's going on for them, to get it out of their mouth so they can have any concerns that are getting a bit outlandish, getting that calmed down and reassured. So it is a time where I know that you guys, as managers and owners of dental practices, I know that you guys are in exactly the same basket. You've got so many webinars to view. You've got so much stuff to read. You've got communications flying around between your bookkeeper, your accountant, your staff, ADA, HR, colleagues. What the hell's going on? I just need to know what path to take. Things are settling a little bit. Whoever's going to be on JobKeeper is probably established. You probably all established that now. You've all registered for JobKeeper. I think I'm going to sneeze. Not a COVID sneeze. Maybe not even a sneeze. No, it's leaving me. Pardon me. So hopefully your brains are a little bit more able to accommodate more stuff again now. But whatever's going on for your brain, staff have got their own stuff going on as well. And sometimes people need to be led into the space of effective communication in order to practice it, and they won't see the benefit of it until they're practicing it. So this is what I'd like to share with you around the staff communication. They will follow your lead. Actually, let me just go in here. I've got a spelling error. Can't stand spelling errors. They will follow your lead. And what I mean by that is, are we panicking here within the practice walls, or are we calm? Are we in this together? And I'm starting to hate that term. We're all in this together. Are we in this together, or is it every man for himself? Now, that is more focused around the management of the job keeper, job seeker, temporary layoff, full layoff, casuals don't get anything unless you've been employed for a year, all this sort of stuff. There's been a lot of job insecurity thoughts going on, and income insecurities going on. And staff members will take your lead as to, is my boss going to be looking after me with this, or am I having to fight for myself here? And so they take from your lead. So the same is going to be true for the infection control side of things. Is this guy or this woman making me feel safe working here? Or am I going to make sure that I have to do the research around the PPE myself and the infection control procedures myself? You want everyone to be on the same team. You want everyone to be looking after themselves and each other equally. And the way that happens is, and if anybody read my blog that I put out yesterday, part of it was talking about the importance of, as a leader of people, to have them share with you, you ask, they share with you what their reality is, and you just shut up and listen. What's going on for you? How are you feeling? Are you feeling safe? What are your concerns around your finances and your job security? Tell me everything. Tell me your reality. And if you went down to JobKeeper wage and reduced hours, how would that impact you with your mortgage, with your groceries, with looking after your children? Tell me what's going on for you. I want to hear it all. Only when you, the employee, can share their reality with you and they know that you care about that and you've taken that into consideration when making any decision, only then will they have the trust developed and be able to then think about and care about your reality and share your reality with them. You don't want to freak anybody out, but it's an extreme situation. If your practice is on the verge, and hopefully that's not the case anymore, but if your practice is on the verge of collapse, people need to know that in order to be able to enthusiastically say, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? Do you need me to come in on weekends instead of Mondays? What can I do to help this situation? To be, you know, so are we in it together or is it every man for himself? Are we confident of public safety when dealing with patients, or are we fearful of the, of them, I think I meant, of them? So when a patient comes in, are we like standing back? There was I was in the self-serve area of Coles a number of days ago, and they're wiping down all the self-serve things and only using every second one, as you've probably all experienced yourself as well. And then quite often, as the self-serve registers do, it comes up with an alert and the operator has to come over and help do something. And the operator was standing back and saying, you have to move away, you have to move away, before she would go over and just hit a button on the screen. And I get that there's a lot of anxiety out there, but it does make everyone else around go, okay, now we've got to be fearful. We've got to be very careful here. We've got to be very careful here. So when a patient comes in, you're all kind of standing back. Don't touch me. Don't touch the door handle until you use that hand sanitizer. Don't open your mouth until you do that rinse. Or are you saying, come on in? Yep, if you could use that hand sanitizer, you know what the situation is like at the moment. Yep, come on through. Pop your bag down there on the floor and take a seat. So what are we communicating to our patients? So if, as a practice, we're saying, okay, we've got to be very careful of these possibly infected patients coming in, then it's going to have an impact as a whole team. So as a team, are we confident of public safety? Of course we can be. We've been told we can be. If we stick to the guidelines the ADA have set out, we can have enormous confidence in the way we are operating as a dental practice. At the ADA webinar, the most recent one, I'm sure it was that I've been listening and watching so many of them. It's all these webinars that are flying around the place. It's wonderful. There's so much information out there. But she was saying that, I'm sure it was Shannon who on that program who was saying it, but she was saying that if you are taking all the additional precautions, which is not seeing sick patients, keeping people in the car park until you're ready to, so not having anybody in the waiting room and they're touching minimal surfaces when they're there, you've removed all the items out of the waiting room. So if they are standing in there, they're not flicking through a magazine or anything like that. They come in, they use the hand sanitizer. And she was even mentioning getting them to wash their hands at the basin as well. And on top of that, we're going to be getting them to mouth rinse with hydrogen peroxide mixture or ozonated water. She said, when you're doing all of that, all of a sudden your need for psycho PPE goes all the way down and your risk of transmission is so minimal. We can have enormous confidence moving forward. It would be different if we were treating sick people. If we were treating people who had COVID-19, that would be different. But we're taking all these additional precautions so we can feel very safe in what we do. Remember, we have moved through AIDS, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, hepatitis B. We've moved through all of these infections and diseases and never had cross-infection issues here in this country. That's what somebody told me just recently, and I was very impressed. from a dental space. So we can have confidence in what the health authorities and our governing bodies tell us and what we've been practicing to date. And what time frame is being promoted in your practice? Are you communicating in any way that, oh, it's going to be months before we get back to normal? Or no, it's imminent. It is imminent. That's not putting a date on it. It's imminent. It's going to happen real quick. I really believe it will happen real quick. I hope I'm proved right. So staff need leadership. And what I often say, and if anyone's done the leadership, how to lead and manage your team online course, and if you haven't, do so. If you're concerned to make sure that staff are being communicated with really effectively, I'd encourage you to do that one. Staff need leadership. And when I say parent-child frame, it's not to diminish the employees as being childlike. Absolutely not. What the parent-child frame, when you're communicating with and thinking how, what kind of communication do I need to deliver to my employees, what it's identifying is the level of explanation, supporting communication that you need to put across to an employee who doesn't know what's going on up here for you. So the natural way groups of humans work together, we do gravitate towards the first natural leader. Be that first natural leader and be the voice of calm and control, and you've got it all under control, and don't you worry, don't worry. And as a parent, you'd never let your children suffer needlessly. You know they're going to suffer somewhat. That's part of being a human. During this COVID-19 situation, employees, you will suffer somewhat, but I will be doing my very best that it's not needlessly. You can look to me for guidance. You can look to me for security. You can look to me and trust me that I've got it under control. I'm getting all the information. I'm doing everything I can to minimize the impact of COVID-19 on you personally, me personally, and the business as a whole, and our patients. So think of, when you think, what do my staff need from me? Just think, if they were my children, what would they need from me? And then do that. Staff also need a chance to share their reality. And this was brought home to me with one particular staff member with one particular team that I've been working with. And this staff member was terrified to come back. They had, I think it was a week off, and they closed the practice for a week. And she was terrified, coming up with every excuse under the sun not to come back in to work for the level, under level two. And I think it was actually a couple of days before that they had a few emergencies that really need to get seen. Just badgering her, you got to come in, you got to come in, you got to come in, wasn't going to fix anything. And you don't want somebody coming in who's fearful and fearful for their own safety and health. It's terrible. So we sat down and I said, tell me what's going on for you. Tell me all the things you're concerned about. Even as she was saying some of these things, she was answering her own concerns. When we're caught up in our own head, we often don't extend that thought out to the point where we can then provide ourselves with the answer. It just ends up being on repetition in our brain, not being helpful at all. When we get things out of our mouth, we are forced to go to the next natural thought, the next natural thought. And so quite often, people are answering their own concerns. For the concerns that weren't answered by herself, I assured her of all the information that I'd seen through webinars, and I sent a whole bunch of links. And just through that communication, she started going, yeah, okay, yep, no, you're right. We have had, you know, infectious people coming into our practice for years and years and years, and nothing's ever happened. I've never really worried. I've always had faith in the PPE. I've always had faith in our infection control procedures. And so it's important to set the time aside that is required, that you can get all the team members and do it as a group, that everyone else can bounce off each other and support each other. Get them to air what is going on for them. Get them to speak what their reality is. Get their concerns out of their mouth and then be reassured. You may need to repeat information, as I said before, just embrace that. If you've said it before, don't just say, don't worry, I'm just going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. Because it's a busy, busy mind at the moment. Morning huddles are crucial. Every morning, that's a time to say, okay, this is what we're doing today. These are any of the changes that have been made to the infection control procedures, or the changes that the government have put down, or the ADA had a webinar last night, and this is a quick synopsis of what that entailed, what was involved in that, and how's everybody today, checking in, making sure there's no concerns that need to be managed, making sure that we are taking people's reality seriously in the practice. And we want to foster a common vision. We want to say, this is what our goal is. Our goal is to remain open, have this whole team remain together, and continue seeing our patients and making sure that from an oral condition perspective, they are improving, not getting worse or being neglected. So our vision is to make sure that we're providing that opportunity for all of our patients and our team. So try to get that common vision happening too. Now, another item ticked off the list. I love ticking things off the list. I just popped in here, cash flow projection in level two. Do be in communication with your bookkeeper and or your accountant and say, I know that we're open up in level two now, but the cash flow projections at this time are going to be crucial to make sure that you can survive. And to say, at the moment, we're going to be functioning, maybe you've got three surgeries and you still want to continue the social distancing. So say we're only going to be opening one surgery and we're probably only going to be making $1,000 a day as opposed to what we used to, because we're putting additional space in between each appointment time, and get them to mock up a cash flow for you. So you can at least have some kind of handle and some sort of control over every time we open up another session, it costs us this much, so you can actually start to plan. So I do encourage you all to get a cash flow projection going. If you don't have one going in your business already, do speak to your accountant or your bookkeeper about it. It's a great thing to make sure you maintain control and know what's going on. Of course, before the stocks run out, increase your stocks of rubber dam equipment. And I was going to just mention too, it's at this time that if you do hand out welcome bags to new patients, if you hand out recall bags to your recall patients, maybe stop that for now. Just making sure we're reducing the amount of things that are passing from hand to hand to hand. Post-patient updates, notifications on website and social media pages, including local community pages. And so this is what I was talking about with that message that you give to your patients. You must communicate with them at the moment. Tell them what to do. They're waiting to hear what to do. And be encouraged that the, as I said earlier, the one of the practices I was speaking to earlier today during our leadership meeting, when she was posed the question, how are patients responding to being called back in for appointment times? Are they fearful or are they happy? She said, not a problem. And I think it's because they're presenting it in a highly confident way. So that written verbiage, so what I've got down here, and this is going to remain attached to the card, of course, so that you can just copy and paste it if you like it. If you don't, that's fine. I don't take things personally. We can start delivering this bit here. Put that on your Facebook page, your website, emails out to your patients. If it's on your website, you could even SMS a link to that page through mass SMS. Also, if you're going to do a video, which, you know, I encourage, the video can be posted regularly or pinned to your Facebook page. You can put it in there and do a boost on it so other patients actually see that as well. Put that on your website. Put this information everywhere. Tell your patients what to do, because they won't know what to do just yet. And I've just got a link there to the ADA webinar, practicing. Practicing through the pandemic. Oh, I didn't hit prop. That's okay. I'll accept that typo. Tonight's ADA webinar, practicing through the pandemic, part two. The link is right there. That starts at 8 o'clock. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Right now it's 5:30 here, so another 2.5 hours. So feel free to click on that link. Okay, now we've got 25 minutes to go, and this is where we're going to go into your practice manual setup. Your practice manual setup, I encourage you to use Evernote. Evernote is an application which many of you may have heard about, and I have found it enormously effective as your practice manual. This is an Evernote practice manual that I set up, don't know, a year ago, a year plus ago, with a bunch of information in it. And you can have all that information. Once you set up your Evernote profile, I go in here and I've got documents within each of these folders that I can then load up for you at no charge, because it is a no charge coaching environment. What Evernote does, so think of Evernote, for a start, it's free. You can have paid versions, but what you need it for, you can have it as a free version. Evernote is a note-taking application or note-keeping application. Think of Evernote as this. In a bookcase, which I've got up here, in a bookcase, you have got a whole bunch of notebooks. And when you take out a notebook, you've got a whole bunch of notes. And that's as simple as it is. This is how I have set up the practice manual for dental practices that I work with. You may want to do it the same way. The advantages to doing it via an app is that under normal circumstances, traditionally, dental practice manuals have been physical, a big folder that's tatty, not updated for years, hidden away in a bookcase somewhere. When you try to find a note, you can't find it. How do I do a payment at the reception? I don't know, I can't find the note. What you can do with this is you can have it, because of the fact it's an application, you can look at it at home, you can have one open in every dental surgery that you've got at your practice, you can update it from anywhere, you can attach links to websites, big document folders, videos, images. You can do all of this stuff within it, and it helps make it a more of a live document, that it's something, if you get into the habit of, the minute we have got a new system, let's quickly videotape it, add it to Evernote. The minute we've got a staff meeting come up, the minute's going to Evernote. It can become quite a lively application within your practice and a very useful way of keeping all the information that you need in a practice manual. You've also, of course, got search functions within it as well. So you can easily search for things without having to trawl through all this paperwork. You can just put X-ray, for example, depending on how I spelled it. Maybe I put the dash there. Oh, let me do it easier. It's been a long time since I've seen this. There we go. So, and then you get everything, all the notes that have the word reception in it, come up in the search. And so then all of a sudden it's a lot easier to find information as well. This is how I've set it out. Clicking on this icon here, says beside it, notebooks. And when you click it off again, it goes back to where you were before. So notebooks, these are the key, out of all these icons, these are the key ones. Notebooks, this one here, create a new notebook. Once you're in a notebook, such as clinical, then you've got the plus sign to add a note. They're the key things to use. So as an example, we go into clinical and we've got the Polar Day instructions. We've got how this practice sets up for fissure sealants, for a crown prep, etc. They're the sort of things that you can put in there. Let's go back to notebooks. Let's have a look what we've got under documentation. In documentation, we've got the patient general consent form. We've got radiation safety and protection plan. We've got the a link to the Australian standards document that we all live by. And because it's such a huge document, we've just got the link to it. We've got the Dental Board Code of Conduct, guideline on dental records. So a lot of these things are things that we need to follow, but they're in external sources. So we can just drag the information in. We can either copy all the text, paste it in, or create the link. The advantage to copying all the text and paste it in, if it's doable, if it's not a huge document, is that when you use the search function, it's searching for the keywords in all of that text. With this example, it's only going to see the words dental guidelines, dental records within that little attachment there. So where possible, get the text in there. Got the code of contact, ADA Victorian branch, systematic operating procedures. So you get a whole bunch of information there. Let's go back and go to equipment. What sort of things would you have in there for equipment? Ah, the surgery care instructions, the user manuals, the warranties, the receipts for all these things. And equipment maintenance schedule. Let's go back to notebooks again. Governing policies. There we go, a whole bunch of stuff from the ADA and APRA. Then we've got within that our own personal customer service policy. This is the one that JPPS has drawn up. JPPS appearance code, our behaviour policy. Let's go back into human resources. This is another useful notebook. Staff request for leave, what they're supposed to, that's their form that they use to request leave from. What the mobile phone policy is here. The staff induction form or information that we send through. The responsibility list, if you've got a dental nurse, if you're a trainee dental nurse, what your list of responsibilities are. Whether you are a practice manager, that's a long list of responsibilities, let me tell you. Senior dental nurse, what all the staff contact details are. Again, our appearance policy, that's one of our guiding policies, all of these behaviour customer service policies. What the award is, put the link into the current award. And receptionist responsibilities. So that's a hint of what's in behind the human resources area. Then we have infection control. This is lengthy. So I spent a lot of time going through the current guidelines as of a year ago or year plus ago, going through all the guidelines, and I really wanted all the text in there. So I copied and pasted and separated it all. So we've got blood and body fluid exposure protocol, infectious diseases, allergies, transmission-based precautions for infection control. There'll be on top of all of the measles, mumps and tuberculosis and staph, we're going to have COVID-19 there. I'm sure there'll be an amendment to it. Special areas and their particular infection control requirements. So dental radiography, specialised intraoral equipment and devices. Look at all this stuff that you don't have to then drag into your document yourself. You can do it all just by signing up yourself to Evernote, sending me through the details, and I'll load it up with all your bits and pieces. Or it might be better just to send me through the email you want to use for this, and I will create your profile on Evernote. Use the password like I normally do, password in caps, load it up and send it off to you. That might be an easier way, I'm thinking. Look at this, you can just keep going and going and going. There's even images in there as well. You can just imagine how useful Evernote can be for your practice management manual, sorry, your practice manual. And it just is an indication too of how much stuff you got to get in there and how on earth are you going to put that in physical form. And if it's not going to be in physical form, then how are you going to do it? And Evernote, to me, that's the answer. That's the answer. Okay, so you got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Go back to notebooks and medicaments and material safety data sheets. You know, by law, we have to have the material safety data sheets on every medicine that we hold within our walls. That's a lot. This could be this whole project of the dental practice management. Sorry, the dental, I'm so used to saying practice management, the dental practice manual. While you are still dribbling patients into your book and having gaps in between and possibly staff not being utilized clinically all the way through the day and the week, it's a good time to get this, you know, you've got the guts of it there, but modified, or it still requires a lot of effort from you guys to make sure you're putting your systems and protocols in place. And one of the things that can be is just have somebody, you know, for an hour a day, can you go through and start looking on the internet under the for example, Letamix material safety data sheet. They're all listed on websites. They're accessible everywhere. So you just have to put it in there and the search, it'll take you to it, and then you'll be able to attach the document. And there we go. So awesome. Gosh. Reminded how awesome it is. Going back to notebooks, occupational health and safety. So this is the ADA work health and safety document. a guide to keeping healthy and safety, clothing, safety at reception, safety in the kitchen, all the rest, needle stick injury management. Here's our needle stick injury report that you need to fill out. All the reception and office. These are, you know, an example of some of the things that you can put in there. So you're not just, you know, this is the checklist for opening up or and closing, or this is the Veteran Affairs form. This is the link to go straight to the Veteran Affairs form. So you don't have to trawl through the desktop documents to try to find it if you don't normally sit at reception, and you don't have to go through the Google search to try to find it. This is our policy on discounting. These are our post-op instructions that we hand over at reception if that's done. This is how we reconcile the till. This is our petty cash management. This is how we manage our incomplete treatment, et cetera. And so many of those sort of systems can be worked out with the assistance of the JPPS online course of that topic as well. Team meeting minutes. All of your previous team meeting minutes can be housed there. And the wonderful thing is that what I normally do is I work from this document. So as people are mentioning, can you add this to the agenda item? Can you add that to the agenda item? You can either do it within Evernote. You can do it within your Trello board when you've got the next meeting, for example, that's going to be the staff meeting. But when we're doing the minutes for the staff meeting, just start tapping away, and then share it, email it to all the staff so they all get the copy of the minutes real quick. Nice. And then you've got a history. You've got a history of all your team meetings. Like, that's awesome. Team training. So if you've got a new young dental nurse, trainee dental nurse on board, tell her, go to that notebook. A whole bunch of information's there. These are all your images for the anatomy of the mouth and teeth and skull and children's teeth, charting, sterilization. Go to here. So then you'll get to know all about the sterilization side and a whole bunch of resources for you. So there are some dental nursing training videos. I don't know how old these links are now, so hopefully they still work. But there is so much information on YouTube that will help a trainee dental nurse or even a dental staff member, maybe at reception, who hasn't got dental experience to get them to understand a few concepts around dental. So as you can see here, dental nurse training video, dental anatomy, wiping down the chair unit, suction positioning, placing an amalgam filling, if you can see how old I am. But that's a good thing to know. You know, I think every dental nurse would enjoy seeing how to place an amalgam filling, especially if they've never had a chance to nurse on them before. Placement of composite filling, constructing a Toffelmeyer matrix band, educational videos animated on many dental procedures, including Maryland bridges, wisdom teeth, etc. At that link there shouldn't be a number 9 there, that's the same link. Animation video on cleaning and periodontal disease, etc., etc. So you can make your Evernote work so beautifully for you and your team and your practice, and it will grow with you and be reflective of what's happening at your practice at any one time. It would be a great thing for a new staff member to come on board, and they have a series of particular notes that they go to, so they really understand how you do things there at your practice. So I hope you found that useful. So what I'm going to do is send through an instruction for you. This is in the follow-up email. Send through an instruction for you to, yes, I might just do another quick form. That seems to be easy, I think. Maybe I'll think about it. You're in your follow-up email. You will get the instruction just to send me through the email you want to use for your Evernote if you want to develop Evernote. Once I've got that, I will add all of this information in there, just like it is right now. Then it's ready for you to modify and adjust as you see fit. It could be a great project for your team to get through during this time. So good luck with it. Let me go back to our little agenda list. I've ticked that off. We've gone through all of that. We've watched the video. Magnificent. Good. We've done everything. That's marvelous. So now I can actually, I'm going to hover over it and go L for label, take off top priority because we've already done it. I'm going to hover over our next online session, live online session, which is Sunday at 2. I'm going to hover over that, hit L, change it from mid priority to top priority because that's our next session. I'll drag this over to complete it at the top of the list on completed. Pardon me. And when you click into this later on, the recording of today will be posted right here. So you can click into it. I hope you've enjoyed the session. If I can be of any assistance, there's no questions or anything like that. Just at the end, I'm starting to cough again, like I did during the Trello instruction. So I hope you found that very useful. I look forward to seeing you at the next session on Sunday. Please feel free to go into that next session's card and add in any agenda items that you would like. Let me know whether you would like the Evernote and have a beautiful, wonderful evening. Enjoy dinner and hopefully a glass of wine. All the best.